I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colchonero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat, making his standard Monday appearance, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat. It's a mailbag episode, y'all. Thank you so much for your questions you submitted on Twitter and Facebook. We get to all of them. So we hit on a lot of material in this episode of the podcast. We talk about Atletico's win at Deportivo on Saturday, which maintained Atleti's unbeaten start to this league season and an unbeaten run away that dates back to last December. So two pretty impressive streaks continuing there. We also answer a lot of questions on the latest Antoine Griezmann drama, a theoretical Griezmann sale, building a team in Griezmann's departure, whether or not the lack of a defined playmaker is hurting Atletico, and despite just 6 goals conceded in La Liga, the underlying defensive issues that have plagued Atletico at times this season. We hit on all of those topics and more in this jam-packed edition that will sustain you for a large part of international break, at least we hope it will. Before we launch into all of that, however, a couple programming notes. Please subscribe to Colchonero Chat on your podcasting platform of choice. That includes iTunes. Make sure you leave a rating and a review. It would really help us out here at the program. And also, if you're interested in becoming a patron, supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/colchonerochat. Lots of awesome benefits there. patreon.com/colchonerochat. One last time, patreon.com/colchonerochat. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this.
So what time is it there? Because y'all don't do the daylight savings thing, right?
Yeah, no, we're awesome. We don't do daylight savings. It's 9:45 here.
Ah, I see. That's why I was confused, because I got your message. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Arizona has to be special and not change their clocks.
Yeah, we're special in more ways than one.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But I was going to tell you, I had some bomb pizza last night.
I saw that, actually. Yes. What about it? What made it so special?
Well, it wasn't your traditional, like, you know, you get a huge slice on, like, a 14-inch pizza.
Sure.
No, these slices were more really manageable squares with minimal crust. Mm. I don't really like the crust. Mm. But it had, like, onion and sausage on it. It was delicious.
And cheese. Not a crust man, are you?
Nah, I'm not. Never have been.
Shame. More for the rest of us, then.
Yeah, exactly. I'm very giving. I'll give you my crust.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. But no,
there's always someone that has to do that.
This was a pizza joint in East Phoenix. Well, they call it Ahwatukee, but it's East Phoenix. Let's get real here.
That's the gentrified name.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Ain't no Ahwatukee out here.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not down for that. But kind of segueing a little bit, this will get us started on the right foot since this is a mailbag episode, Rob. We have so many questions. Oh, we're just going to make it a mailbag.
Inundated.
Do you believe that pineapple belongs on pizza?
Okay, so I have a complex relationship with this because in elementary school, right, we went on this field trip. And I don't remember where it was to, but in the cafeteria, they were serving pizza with pineapple on it. And granted, I was about 7 years old at the time, so I didn't really know that was a thing. And I had it, and it was nasty. But I think the reason it was nasty was because they put Thousand Island sauce on it. And that is a crime. So, I'm going to go for no, but yes. That's only because I've had a traumatic experience. I won't judge you for it.
that's the right answer. Pineapple does not belong on pizza. Neither does Thousand Island dressing. Good God, that's child abuse, really.
Yeah, I know. I was only a child. I didn't know what that's this abusive. Kind of pizza meant.
Wow. I'm sorry that you had to go through that. It gives me a new perspective on you and your struggles.
Yeah, blame the Georgia public school system. It's their fault.
Education.
Whatever bootleg field trip that was.
Education in our two wonderful states is severely lacking.
Hey, no child left behind, baby.
Oh, Christ on a bike. All right.
Off to a strong start.
Well, I'm glad we are in agreement on that one. Because pineapple on pizza is a travesty. It's a crime against humanity, really.
No, not for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, now that we've established this, let us use it as a jumping off point and start talking about Atletico and this weekend. We'll start with the whip around as ever.
Yay.
We've reached another international break, which is not good news.
Oh.
But this was another pretty solid weekend, I'd say. Not as good as last weekend, but pretty solid nonetheless. On Friday, Real Betis and Getafe playing out a 2-2 draw. I actually got in a Twitter argument about this game.
Yeah, I watched this one as well. You watched it was a good one.
Yeah, I made the argument that Christian Teo, who set up both of Real Betis' goals in the second half, I argued that he played really well. I had some guy who doesn't follow me bound into my mentions saying, "Did you even watch the game? Teo was horrible and wasteful." I'm like, what? I'm sorry, but if you have like 50 touches and you lay on two assists with a bunch of key passes and dribbles, I don't think you played badly. I don't see it. The stats tell me otherwise.
Yeah, yes, the stats indicate otherwise. And, I mean, this was a very good game. I remember on Friday afternoon looking and seeing that this was on. I was like, ooh, because these are two teams that have gotten off to quite a good start so far this season. So, exciting times.
Yeah, unfortunate for Getafe that they couldn't complete. They were up 2-0 and they blew the lead. But still a pretty good point away for them. Betis are pretty strong at home this season.
Yeah, and an exciting neutral game, so no complaints there.
On Saturday, Valencia did their thing again. I think they got a little lucky in this game, but still deserved to win. They beat Leganés 3-0. They've won, I lost count of how many they've won in a row. I want to say it's 7 in a row now.
Numerous.
Good. Numerous is good. Yeah, they're awesome. They're really, really good. And yeah, Leganés just didn't really have much of a chance here. In the first 9 weeks, Leganés gave up, I think, 3 goals. They've given up 5 in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's a shame for them, because they look quite good against some of the bigger teams this season so far. So
yeah, they played excellent until the last couple weeks, which, to be fair, away it's Sevilla and Valencia. That's really tough.
Yeah, those are two tough away trips. So, you know, they'll be fine this year, yeah. Leganés, but even still, would like to see them put a bit more of a fight.
Alaves, 1-0 winners over 10 men Espanyol. That's a really good win for Giovanni DiBiase's side, just their second of the season. Espanyol just continued to Espanyol all over the place. Despite last week's promising win over Betis, they went and, well, they shat the bed here, quite frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go for it, yeah. They definitely did.
First minute goal from Christian Santos. First minute. And that's all
and
she wrote.
And that was it. Glad I didn't watch this one. To be honest,
that's all she wrote.
Yep, Espanyol, they're buried in mid-table, if that's even possible.
As ever.
Oh yes, they always will be.
Barcelona 2-1 winners over Sevilla. Not really much of a surprise here. The only surprise was that Sevilla kept it close for a little while before Barca eventually pulled away. Paco Alcacer's got 2 goals. More than Luis Suarez, more than Antoine Griezmann, more than Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, sure, La Liga is weird.
What is going on here?
Barcelona remain top of the table entering the international break. On Sunday, Girona 2-1 win at Levante. Another really good result for Girona there. Celta Vigo 3-1 winners over Athletic Club and their increasingly under fire manager, Cuco Zaganda. Really, again, Athletic, we've talked about it before. They have lost 3 on the trot. They're buried in 15th now.
Yeah, and yikes. They would have expected to compete for the Europa League. So, yeah. He's on the hot seat, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't think Zaganda's going to last much longer there. Villarreal, 2-0 winners over Malaga. Cedric Bakambu with an offside hat trick in this game. He scored 3 goals. They were all ruled out for offside.
Fantastic scenes. They didn't even need those 3 goals.
No, they didn't. Pablo Fornals is a really good player, by the way.
Yes, I'm sure Malaga are very sad that he left them. Yeah, they're crap without him.
Mm-hmm. Real Sociedad getting a 3-1 win over Eibar. The expected goals map for this game was insane. Real Sociedad are really good. Eibar are really bad.
Yep, they looked really, really good, Real Sociedad. Their midfielder, Oyarzabal, the Basque name.
My son,
kill me, but
my son Mikel Oyarzabal.
He was brilliant.
Yeah, he's had an amazing start to the season. I think he's at 6 goals now. Yeah, he's at 6.
Yep,
It's pretty good.
He's looking very good. Looking very good.
Pretty good. Finally, on Sunday, Real Madrid 3-0 winners over Las Palmas. That's the end of their crisis. Marco Asensio scoring an amazing goal. This was actually like legit
shocking.
Probably the best goal of the weekend. Just a half volley rising into the top of the net. Las Palmas buried in 19th, and Vitolo left Sevilla for this.
Well,
we kind of had a part in coercing him to go there, but I bet he feels pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, I guess on the bright side, he's not going to be there for much longer, but even still,
that
probably didn't make him feel too good doing that to his hometown team.
No, and without him, it's probably going to get worse for them. And hard to imagine not.
In his defense, he kind of strikes me as the sort of player that if he has good players around him, he'll look quite good, but I'm not sure if he's the type of guy that can put a crappy team on his back.
Yeah.
Not going so well for Las Palmas. Mm.
Yeah, no, it's not. And yeah, that's that. So top four, Barcelona on 31 points, Valencia on 27, Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid level on 23 points, heading into the Madrid derby in a couple weeks. Villarreal in fifth on 20 points, Sevilla in sixth on 19. Now, the one result we didn't talk about, well, probably because it was a win, we're a little more willing to talk about it. Deportivo La Coruña 0, Atletico Madrid 1. That is Depor 0, Atletico 1. A party at the Riazor, Rob.
Yes. We only had to wait 91 minutes.
Yeah. 91 minutes for Tomas to save us all. What a guy.
Yeah, man, this was a poor game. not the best to watch. It was kind of interesting in the first half, but that was mostly because Depor made it interesting.
I didn't even think the first half was interesting. This was just crap from beginning to end.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple moments where I was like, ooh, Zachariah Bacalli. I didn't even know he was still alive.
Yeah.
And then that was about it. So, yeah, nothing hugely exciting. Lucas Perez, not exactly exciting either. Kind of a, you know, he was good. He's good for half a season in La Liga, but he wasn't particularly exciting either. It was just not a very good game.
Not at all.
Pretty plain and simple. No.
No. But Atletico got the win, which...
They did.
You know... I was preparing to do a podcast just, here we go again, let it go draw because they're playing so negatively. But all of a sudden, Tomas Partey steps up and curls in this beauty from 20 yards. It was amazing. Is it just me, or I was talking with a friend of the pod, Carlo Valladares, about this. Is it just us, or is Tomas getting really good at long-range shooting?
Yeah, he's really, really brought that to his game this year. I mean, that was nothing that happened last year. I'm not sure if he didn't have the confidence last year or just didn't feel like he was able to do that.
I think he got the time.
He's cracking them off this year. I'm loving it.
I think the issue last year is that he didn't get enough time.
Yeah, also
and this
true.
Year he's getting all the minutes, which is awesome. Like, that's probably the best thing Simeone has done this season with this new policy. Or semi-rotation policy is that Tomas has gotten a lot of minutes, and Tomas is playing really well.
Yes, absolutely. He's certainly been the best result of this rotation thing. And, you know, it's cool to have a midfielder that can threaten from long distance pretty often, and now we actually have two with Tomas and Saul, if you think about it. So that kind of puts a thought in the defense's mind that they need to push up and maybe one day we'll have some strikers that can get in behind and create some dangerous opportunities.
Yeah, maybe someday in the future.
Yeah, potentially. It could happen.
Yeah, one of those strikers was a big story in this game, and we'll talk about it in a minute. But what else did you see from this game that was even, mildly positive, other than the win?
I thought it was interesting that, you know, the midfield has just been a constant shifting beast this year. And again, we have four central midfielders. But, I thought it was good to see Augusto starting.
Yeah.
As much as he didn't particularly do a whole lot, I thought it was good that he got some starting minutes. But, yeah, I mean... I'm trying to think of things that happened in this game. To be honest, there aren't.
And you're struggling.
Yeah. Tomas's goal was the best part by a bazillion miles. I spent most of this match thinking about the potential that Zachariah Bacalli got to on FIFA 14. And that kind of tells you how boring this match was. I was like, man, he used to be as good as Ronaldo.
And now, wait a minute.
Now he's a Depor.
Yeah, now he's 21 and his career in La Liga is falling apart.
He's gained a bit of weight, maybe would be a kind way of saying it.
Let's see if I can find anything positive. Yeah, Depor had just one shot on target. That's good. The expected goals map, the rough expected goals sum from Kaylee's map. Depor, 0.4 expected goals for this game. Atletico, 0.5. Let's go. We out here.
So less than one goal.
One-tenth of a goal. One-tenth.
Oh, my God.
But no, I think this does show that Atletico are still really, really good defensively, okay? We've talked about the issues with headers, and that is a huge issue. We also have talked about Simeone routinely playing his worst center back next to his best center back. But despite that, I think Simeone is still a master at structure. He is a master at getting a team organized and just defending in numbers. Atletico is still one of the best defensive sides in Europe, and I think this game reinforced it. But other than that, I mean, yeah, this really wasn't very good. It was great to see Augusto out there, his first start in 13 months. Oblak had very, very little to do. Gabby was really good
again. The only trouble Oblak had, he caused for himself. I think he tried to get a little
What was
cute.
He trying to do?
It's still kind of unclear to me. I'm not sure if he lost his footing.
I thought he might have gotten a cleat stuck in the grass.
Yeah.
And that's why he couldn't move. And he almost lost the ball and Lucas almost scored.
Yeah, I'm not sure really what he was doing there. But yeah, he was half asleep for most of this match. He didn't, not a whole lot going on. But I mean, I think you're right about showing that this defensive thing is real and the headers have been a bit unfortunate. I mean, if you do look at the expected goals charts for the matches against Karabag, I mean, the opposition XG is tiny. And I mean, they capitalized on very few chances against Atletico, which is bad, but it's still showing that at least this defense hasn't totally gone crazy and is now terrible.
It's shakier than it used to be. It's not as airtight, but it's still very, very, very good.
Yeah, and I think when you have Simeone, you can kind of rely on the fact that he'll get the defense sorted out at least. Maybe not the rest of the team,
but I think at least
he'll get the back four doing something.
Yeah, it's also, there's a factor of he's playing four central midfielders. Again, there's no attacking, there's no creativity, there's no inventiveness whatsoever, but somehow Atletico are winning games and they're still unbeaten in La Liga. Go figure. Why not?
I don't get it.
Why not?
It's so confusing.
They have now won as many games in Galicia as they have at the Wanda Metropolitano this year, with two.
Not good.
Not a great stat.
I mean, it's just at the point where, it's just not working. I mean, nothing Simeone's tried in the midfield has worked. And I get that, we have a small squad and wingers are hard to come by right now.
Especially
for
us, when your best one has been injured and is reportedly having, a falling out with the club over his recovery from said injury.
Yeah, injured and always kind of grumpy with Simeone and I just kind of think it's just time, just put Saul and Tomas in central midfield and play Gaitan and, Correa if you want to on the wing. I mean, I think you just have to say to the young guys, just give them a shot, because I think Saul and Tomas have shown enough this season. I mean, they've been the two best central midfielders for Atletico, and they've been playing on the wing recently, so I don't really get how that works.
Dude, Gaitan played as a second striker in this game. That's how bad. Yeah. That's how out of ideas Simeone is. Gaitan came on at halftime for Correa, which was, I called it galaxy brain managing. Gaitan came on at halftime. He played as a striker in the second half.
That's not the sub that made sense to me at all.
And Gaitan actually wasn't shocking, but he's not a striker.
I don't think Gaitan's really been that bad this season. I mean, he hasn't been good, but he's been a lot better than he was last year, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's missed, a few really, really big chances.
I've actually realized he was playing this year. last year, what I just wouldn't notice.
Yeah, true. He hasn't been terrible. We are a little harsh on him, but he hasn't been terrible. I thought he was okay against Deportivo in what was a really, really poor game for both teams.
Yes. Yes. He has certainly not been the worst player in the team this year.
No, which one may argue is Gaetan's level. But I think Simeone is like running out of ideas here with this attack, and he's just waiting for the calendar to turn to January 1st so he can bring in Costa. And that's a little discouraging.
It is. It makes you worry about how this team is going to maintain for the next month or 2 months, basically.
Yeah, and he said after the game that if we are unbeaten through 11 weeks, we have 23 points and Griezmann scored 2 goals, we're in great shape. And I'm like, no, that's the literal mindset. That's the mindset you literally should not have.
Yeah.
This is not good. I know Atletico are unbeaten. I know they won at the weekend. They're still playing really badly right now.
Yeah, and it's not helped by the European campaign currently being
a disaster.
An upturned car which is on fire and has been graffitied.
Unmitigated disaster.
Yes, yes, perfect. That's exactly what it is. Good. But hey, we beat Depor.
Yay.
Yay. Yay.
Yeah, great.
Hey, there are two guys named Juan Fran playing right back. Gotta love that.
That is probably the most fascinating thing about this game, was I actually had to differentiate Juan Fran Torres and Juan Fran Moreno.
Yep, there you go. If you name your child Juan Fran, good chance they might be a professional right back one day.
Yeah, so far we're 2 for 2.
Yeah. And then there's also the joy that one always gets when they see Kostel Pantilimon play, just because he's, like, ridiculously tall. It's just kind of
weird.
And
he's bad at goalkeeping.
Yes!
Dude, he should have stopped Tomas's goal, actually. As great a goal as it was, and as lovely as the curl he put on it was, Pantilimon just stood there like, oh, that's going in. And he was befuddled.
And he was so angry when it went in. It's like, you know, you're like 7 feet tall, dude. I mean, you should be able to get there of anyone. It's not like you're one of these 5'8" goalkeepers out here struggling. Yeah. Like, you know, you could get there. But, yeah. You know, this was a game that happened. You know, there was one star player that didn't look so happy.
Oh, yeah. There were 3 points that were taken and a win that was granted to Atletico. But, yes, as Rob intimated, we're now going to talk about the latest Antoine Griezmann drama, of which I'm serious. I'm going to, like, print out this picture and, like, put it up somewhere in my apartment.
Like, yes. It's
lovely.
It's a damning image.
And it symbolizes Atletico right now. Symbolizes Griezmann's season. It symbolizes how Atletico are getting along right now. In case you missed it, Atleti's starting team lined up for – their starting 11 lined up for the team photo before kickoff. And usually you have, you know, all 11 players smiling, embracing, locked in arms, like, smiling at the camera, ready to go. So instead, you have 10 players and Griezmann wandering off before the picture is taken.
Yeah, not a good look at all.
Now, I don't know if he thought...
It made people heated.
Yeah, I don't know if he thought the picture had been taken. I don't know if it's what people are outright saying rather than implying is that he just wants to get this over with.
Yeah.
But it's really not a good look.
Not at all, no. And, I mean, the thing for Griezmann is, I mean, he may know that he'll probably get a move when it comes to next summer or even January, but I don't think that'll happen. But next summer, you know, he does have to play well if he wants to go to one of the biggest clubs in Europe, which he thinks he should be at. I mean, Manchester United aren't just going to pay $100 million for him if he plays like crap all year for Atletico. Maybe they will, because they have more money than God, but, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I report,
he needs to do better.
I reported this months ago that Griezmann to United was on for last summer before the ban came down, and, you know, then Atleti and Griezmann had to just really scramble to get him renewed, which, you know, give him a pay rise for not leaving. But now you're seeing the after effects of Griezmann not getting the move he wanted, despite getting the pay rise he wanted. Griezmann was terrible on Saturday, quite frankly. One shot, it was 23 seconds into the second half, and it was shot right at Pantilimon. He was awful, and he was substituted 10 minutes from time for Jimenez. And Atletico won the game without Griezmann on the pitch.
Yeah, you take off both your strikers, one at halftime and one with 10 minutes to go, and you bring on a center back.
In a goalless game.
Allegedly one of the best strikers in the league.
Yeah, and Simeone said, I thought by strengthening the center we'd have a better chance. Yeah, right. Yeah, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Come on, let's be real, Cholo. Man.
I mean, the thing is, from a personal perspective, would you want to be, like, pouting around the training ground if you knew Simeone and Hermann Burgos were watching you all the time? I just don't think that would be a smart thing to do myself.
Very much not.
No.
Not with those two guys. No. Those are two guys I do not want to screw around on.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, Burgos might sit on Griezmann if he doesn't start scoring goals.
Or knife him.
Yeah, that'd be fine too. Long. Whatever. Cut his head off like he said he'd do to Mourinho.
Yeah, Burgos has done questionable stuff. That's why we love him.
One of the most, of course, wearing a baseball cap when he was a goalie.
Yeah. He's done things. He's seen things, man.
He's the man.
That dude's been around, you know?
I mean, there's no better foil to Simeone. I mean, people think Simeone is scary, but he has the scariest man in Europe as his assistant. So.
Yeah, man. Like, Burgos is his enforcer.
Makes him look like a teddy bear.
He's his enforcer.
Big time. Big style. Wearing the Google Glass. He knows where all your weaknesses are.
Hell yeah. But, yeah, back to Griezmann pouting. And
yes.
Maybe he does still think United are going to, you know, come in for him and rescue him, I guess. But he's actively hurting Atletico by not caring. I mean, I know that he's – yeah, Simeone's tactics this season have been really quite poor for a lot of the season. Griezmann hasn't had a lot of service. A lot of times they've relied on Griezmann to just go crazy and just create moments of genius for Atletico to get chances. But Griezmann himself I don't think is driven. I think he has gotten complacent. I think he's gotten lazy. And I think that he's pouting and waiting for next summer or next January at this rate.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. He's been very, very pouty this year. I agree with you. And, I mean, the thing is, you think about it, I mean, his move to United seemed very, very nailed on. But now you look at it and you think, all right, they've been linked to Mesut Ozil too, so maybe they're looking at a different number 10. They don't need a striker. They have Juan Mata and Henrik Mkhitaryan already. I mean, if Griezmann doesn't, you know, convince people again that he's one of the best forward players in Europe, I mean, what's to say that they won't just drop that interest in him altogether, which would piss him off some more.
Yeah, like, I don't know what he's waiting for. I mean, Atletico are all but out of the Champions League. They're all but out of the league title race. I don't know what he's waiting for.
Yeah, I don't know how much cheesy goals. I mean,
I don't know how much Costa is going to help him when Costa starts playing in January. Who even knows how good Costa is going to be with 6 months out of football, more than 7 months out of football, actually. I don't know what Griezmann's waiting for, and it's annoying, it's frustrating, it's irritating, and it's actively hurting the team. That being said, they're still winning without him. They're still unbeaten without him.
It's such a conundrum with Griezmann because I mean I feel like personally he owes Atletico more than he's given us so far. I mean, last season he didn't have a very good start to the year, and then this year, I mean, he hasn't looked like he's cared at all.
Well, Griezmann has always been a guy who I think has prioritized his personal brand over the team. There are a lot of footballers like that. I'm not going to denigrate Griezmann for doing that. I mean, looking at his story and how he came up through football, so many clubs rejected him for being too small. He deserves to, you know, kind of push himself and push his brand out as far as it can go. But right now, his brand and his desire to become a global name and a global phenomenon is coming at the cost of the team. You could have argued this last season, too, when he was really poor the first half of the season. And now we're making that argument again because Griezmann is supposed to be the match winner. Griezmann is supposed to be Atletico's star player, their top player. He's making $14 million this year, for God's sake. And he's giving Atletico no return, really.
Right, exactly. And you know how you become a global icon? You win trophies and you score a bunch of goals if you're a striker.
Yeah.
So, doesn't look like he's particularly trying to do either of those things with Atletico this year.
You can't bash the team. You can't bash recruitment. You can't bash losing in the Champions League to Real Madrid year after year if you're not going out there and doing your absolute best every game.
Yeah, and I mean, we read 20 million interviews with Griezmann last year, like, oh, I want to win trophies, oh, I want to win, like, the Champions
okay,
League.
Great.
It's like, well,
great, you scored one goal in the Champions League this season. It was a penalty. He scored three goals in knockout stages last year. Two of them were penalties.
Well, and also, it's not like he didn't have a chance to win a Champions League with Atletico.
Yeah, not like it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, not like he lashed a penalty off the crossbar or anything at a crucial moment in that game.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I think we've been pretty annoyed with Griezmann. I mean, last year, the endless, endless stories of linking him to Manchester United in particular, I mean, they were just unbearable towards the end of the season. We're just like, if it happens, it happens. Who cares? We're tired of talking about it.
Yeah. So that I think is a really good segue into our mailbag, because our first question, our first two questions actually are going to be about Griezmann.
Okay.
So friend of the pod, Jack Benson, had him on last week, at Jack_Benson1. 100 million euros for Griezmann and he goes in January, or 80 million euros but he doesn't leave until next summer. Which would you pick and why? It's a good one. It's a really good one.
Yeah, I guess it just it depends on how much you think the second half of this season is worth.
Yeah.
I would keep him until the summer, but I get why, you know, his attitude is kind of gross right now, but I just think when you have a player of that quality, keep him for the rest of the year and then let him go and he wants to go. I mean, you're giving him all this money already on this. You paid him basically for a year to stay around, so he might as well see it out for me. But I can just as well see the other side. What do you think about it?
I'm going with the other side. I'm prioritizing two things here. Number one is money. That's an extra 20 million in Atletico's coffers. I'm also seeing Correa as Griezmann's replacement. He's already in the squad. You already have a bill. You don't need to go spend that money on Timo Werner. You don't need to go spend that money on, you know, the another hot flavor of the month. You already have your replacement, and you're getting an extra 20 million for letting an unhappy player leave when he wants to. I would take the 100 million. And again, this is all hypothetical. There's no reporting on, you know, Atletico will make less money if they sell Griezmann later. No, his buyout clause stands at 100 million. So this is just purely hypothetical. But in this situation, I think I'd let him leave in January, because Atletico are going to be out of the Champions League. They're going to. Who knows how hard they'll try in the Copa, but the only thing they'll really be fighting for is Europa League if they want it, and third in La Liga.
Yeah,
and I think you can do that with Costa and Correa as your striker tandem.
I mean, I guess if you're doing that, you're just being okay with having your backup strikers being Gamero and Vieto for half a year. You could probably survive off that, maybe. I mean, presuming Torres goes in January.
Atleti are surviving like that now, right?
Yeah. If Gamero and Vieto was the backup.
Right? They're surviving like that now.
Yeah, true. I can see both sides of it. But, yeah, it's a tough one.
Another question from Jack. Just how concerning is it that Tomas is currently joint top scorer in all comps?
Very, I think.
I'm gonna go with extremely, Alex.
Yeah, like for a guy that hasn't ever really scored goals consistently in his career, to be leading what is allegedly one of the best sides in Europe is quite scary. Not that Atleti's particularly known for being extraordinarily prolific, but even still, Tomas. I mean, he's been great this season, but him and Correa being the team's two top scorers, I wouldn't have said that at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
as much as I love those two guys, I still would not have said that at all.
Man's got four goals in all comps.
Whew, man, I would not have ever guessed. I mean, seriously, you would expect it'd be like Griezmann, Carrasco, maybe Saul up there in top scorers, but nope, not right now.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows when Carrasco's coming back? Speaking of, there's really no news on his knee injury. He wanted to go home to Belgium to recover. Atletico said, no, you can't do that. So he got mad, and it's a standoff right now. Who knows if he'll be back in a couple weeks? Who knows?
Now we have a lovely international break to sit around and hear him yak to the Belgian media, I'm sure. I'm just waiting on that one.
From Joachim Farsho, at Joachim_Farsho. I probably mispronounced that. I'm sorry if I did. Should Atletico build their team around Saul when Griezmann leaves, or should they buy a new star? I think you know which one I'm going to say.
Yes, I think so, and I think I'd probably agree with you. You'd say to build around
because,
our good friend.
Because I love Sal more than just about anything.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. I think that the youth products at Athletic have been churning out in the last couple of years have, a lot of them, been really good. So I think just keep trusting that. I mean, it's better than having to pay all this money for duds. You might as well keep guys that know the club and know what it means to play for the manager and the team. So, yeah, I agree with you.
You don't give a guy a 9-year extension if you don't if you don't plan to build around him at some point. The future is Saul and Koke. And
yep, Saul,
I think
Koke,
Atletico
Tomas.
Yeah, I think Atletico should absolutely be building around Saul, putting him in the middle permanently, Cholo. Permanently. Not this BS at left back, not this BS at left wing. In the middle, permanently. And you build around him. And you let him go to work. You let him do what he does, which is everything, and the entire team will flow out from him.
And then you put his best friend Thomas next to him, and life is good.
You have an all Canterano midfield.
I mean, it seriously could be. That would be fantastic. I mean, granted, it would be better if it was a midfield three, and where none of our central midfielders have to play on the wing ever again, please. but that's another problem.
From @AmaliqueSJ on Twitter. Are supporters being too harsh on Griezmann? Yes, he is a bit out of form, but the same goes for Saul, he says. Why not blame the system instead? He also says, I hate to say it, but I believe the problem is we haven't had a playmaker since Arda Turan left. Costa won't solve our issues without a true number 10. So, I think Griezmann kind of does deserve this criticism, because as I mentioned, he is supposed to be the guy, the talisman, the match winner, and he's not. A lot is being placed at his feet because of the restrictions in Simeone's system, and that is Simeone's problem. But Griezmann is being paid like it. He is expected to deliver great performances, and lately it's as if he's not even trying, and that is a problem.
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, I don't think that Griezmann is best when he is asked to be the sole striker, pretty much, or even in a two with another striker that's similar to him. I think maybe he could sort of serve as that playmaking second striker role when Costa arrives, perhaps.
That's where he's at his best.
Right. We've seen that for France. When he has a bigger striker playing alongside him, he looks a lot better.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Atletico don't have that. But that said, there's no excuse for not even trying. And there are times when it looks like Griezmann just doesn't care.
Yeah, and because even when you try and you have the skill level that Griezmann has, you'll get goals just by being in the right place at the right time and getting a little bit lucky.
Now, the second part of his reply to our tweet looking for questions, the problem is that Atletico haven't had a playmaker since Arda left. Do you agree with that?
I'm not sure that we don't have a playmaker. I'm just not sure that the playmakers we do have are in the right roles to playmake. I mean, Koke, I think, is a pretty decent playmaker, but, I mean, he's been injured for a while, and, you know, his role in the side has, as we've talked about hundreds of times now, never been nailed down. I don't know. I think we have some pretty decent – I think Saul could be that, but that's not – he's not like a maestro of playmaking at all.
He means like a traditional like number 10.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean the other thing is that Arda Turan a lot of the time was not operating in the traditional playmaker part of the pitch. He was generally on the wing.
No, Arda was a winger.
Yeah.
When he tried, he was a very good winger.
Right. And and when he did try, he was quite good. But
before he decided he didn't want to run anymore,
I think that from Simeone's point of view, that Vitolo can do some of what Arda did for this team, because, you know, they're in somewhat of a similar role. I mean, I think that was always sort of why Simeone was targeting him, because he's sort of that kind of player that he likes, the creative wide man. But we'll see with that one.
Yeah, I would argue Atletico have two playmakers, Koke and Griezmann.
I think the problem is that
Griezmann is miscast as a 10 and a 7 and a 9 because of, you know, poor recruitment, poor tactics, etc.
Agreed.
So, yeah, and Alejandro Plata @AlejandroPP also asks this question: don't you think Atletico need a playmaker more than a forward? The playmakers are already here. One of them is currently injured. And Atletico very much missed Koke, by the way. They really miss him.
They do. And they need to find a way when he gets back to make sure that he is being able to do what he does best on the pitch and not be having to sprint up and down the wings, because Koke is not a very fast or athletic player. He's a very smart player and a very skillful playmaking player, a winger.
You want Koke to play in the middle? Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. That's never going to happen. He's going to be right back out on that right wing, swinging in crosses.
From Christoph KG on Facebook, we have a Facebook question, Rob. Big day for us.
Woohoo!
Why are you so harsh on Juan Fran? Also, why do you talk about Savic and Godin like it's this huge problem when clearly defending hasn't been the issue? It's been the creation of chances that's been an issue. Okay, a couple points on this. Juan Fran, we have been a little harsh on him. We've been critical of Juan Fran, but A, that's kind of our responsibility as a mostly objective Atletico podcast. We've said this before, that Juan Fran's a club hero, club legend. He has been at the heart of Atletico's greatest moments under Simeone and some of the greatest moments in club history. But over the past season, he's gotten pretty below average. He was one of the best fullbacks in the continent up until probably the middle of last season, and then it was just a steep-ass decline. And he hasn't been the same since, and his supposed replacement isn't trusted by Simeone, so Juan Fran keeps playing. He's a substandard right-back now, and it's hard to accept, it's hard to say, it's hard to think, but it's true. He's gotten old, and he's not very good anymore.
Yeah, in terms of his like non-physical attributes, Juan Fran is still a very good player. I'm sure that he's fantastic in terms of morale and stuff like that, but on the pitch, you can see it very clearly. If you watch a first-half performance by Juan Fran and then watch him in the last 20, 25 minutes, you'll see there's a very big difference. Yeah, his body just can't go 90 anymore.
No, his stamina is very much not what it used to be. I mean, and he played so many minutes for so long. He played over 4,000 minutes, I think, four straight seasons. That's insane.
Yeah, he was running to the ground.
Because Atleti couldn't buy another right back. Like, his backup was Jesus Gomez for a couple of years, and Jesus Gomez was not a Champions League quality fullback.
Right,
He's playing for Newcastle now.
Yeah, true. And, you know, he's on the bench for Newcastle as well.
Yeah, right.
Because of DeAndre Yedlin, who has pace. But, yeah, no, I think at the start of the season, I said I want Juan Fran to be on the bench, and that's not because I dislike Juan Fran. I just think it's because he would be more useful in that role. It's better for him.
It's thinking about what's best for the team, and right now Juan Fran is not best for the team. Then again, since we haven't seen Shime Rusalico in about, 10 years.
Yeah, who knows?
One may argue... Yeah, that's a problem, and I think it's one of the first areas Atletico are going to address next summer, or even in January, is finding another right back. Because it's clear to me at this point, Simeone does not trust Rusalico. I don't know what's at issue there. I think there's more beneath the surface that we don't know about, other than his ACL injury. It's clear that Simeone and Rusalico are not on the same level here.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and we want to see Juan Fran ride off into the sunset happy, not getting run ragged by La Liga left wingers every single week.
Right. And Juan Fran was decent. The last few games he's been pretty good. He's held his own. But Juan Fran used to be, a marauding, defensively responsible right back. He could do it all right back. One of the best around. And over the past, I'd say probably year, calendar year, it's more than noticeable. Okay, it's clear he is no longer Atletico's best right back. He is now probably mid-table quality right back. You can get away with that, but Atletico don't have many options to replace him.
Well, and when you spend pretty much your entire career as Juan Fran has, playing as a winger, essentially. He was a winger at Osasuna and then kind of became a right back later, but... that's a lot. That's a big physical toll. And once you kind of get into your 30s, I think he's on the way out, and that's fine. And, we're not holding it against him. He's not a bad player. He's just not particularly cut out for the Champions League level clubs anymore. Yeah. But he's fine. He can stay around and be useful off the bench, but we need a better right back.
Why do we talk
whether
about
whether it's Versalico or someone else?
Why do we talk about Savage and Godin as this huge problem? Because Stefan Savage is clearly Atletico's worst center back. Yeah, we have talked about this before. Jose Jimenez and Lucas Hernandez are both clearly better than Stefan Savage. They both offer more pace. They both offer more versatility, more dynamism, intelligence. Savage just isn't good, and he has no pace. And when you pair him with Godin, who also has no pace, they can't move. They're glued to where they are in the 18-yard box.
Yeah, I agree.
Which means they can't defend crosses very well, which means they can't get forward when Atletico need a bombing run from the back. You get that when you have Jimenez and Lucas in your team, not when you have Stefan Savage in your team. And Savage isn't that good. I mean, he's fine, but he's just not that good.
It's true. And I think kind of even for me, at least, I don't have a problem with Savage as a player. He clearly has his limitations, but I think for me more the problem is I just don't like the pairing of him and Godin at all. It doesn't work for me. I mean, I would be fine if Savage were to play like some less important matches, but I would like for him to have a partner with pace, as Godin needs a partner with pace. And hey, we have two young, pacey center backs that are hanging out on the bench.
Yeah, one of whom
Maybe
is out
just
of
just kind of flip that around a bit.
One of whom is out of contract next summer.
Yes, the most important. And
Speaking of, did you see the rumor today was that Roma want Jimenez, and they are willing to buy back Tony Sanabria from Betis and sell him to Atletico to get Jimenez.
Interesting.
That seems...
I'm listening.
Sanabria has been amazing this season for Betis. Young striker. Roma's clause, buyback clause is, I think, 11 million. And Jimenez is out of contract. It's interesting. I'm not sure how fair the value is there. But it's interesting.
Yeah. Two young South American promising players... I could see it.
And Atletico are going to need to rebuild their strike force again next summer with Gamero leaving, Vieto leaving, etc. Griezmann leaving.
Well, Sanabria is actually taller than I thought he was.
Torres leaving.
6 foot. 5'11 and a half.
Yeah, he's been really good this year.
Huh, that's interesting. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind that deal in particular, but swap deals are, you know, very rare in the modern game, but I think they're interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's at the very least a juicy rumor, and we're all for juicy rumors.
Oh, big time, always.
One last note before we go. The first women's Madrid derby was held this past weekend.
Yes.
Atletico defeated Madrid CFF 3-0.
Sony. Yeah.
Yes, they're was great. Heavily involved. Madrid Club de Fútbol Femenino. They are not affiliated with Real Madrid, but they are the other team in Madrid now in Liga Iberdrola. This is their first year in the top flight. Atletico soundly beat them 3-0 to maintain their unbeaten start. They're still joint top with Barcelona, atop the league. It's going to be quite the title race there.
Yeah, Atletico women's team. Way better to watch than the team at the moment.
Word.
Scoring tons of goals. Yeah. They scored a ton of goals last year as well. So.
Yeah, they're terrific. Unfortunately, out of the Women's Champions League after Wolfsburg beat the stuffing out of them.
Yeah, that was a bit unfortunate.
15-2 on aggregate.
Hey, at least it was a few goals in that one.
At least they got two. We got two.
Yeah,
but good for the ladies. Hopefully they can continue on this run, defend the league title, be a massive accomplishment.
Yes, absolutely. They've been fantastic over the last few years. That team has been put together really well.
Yeah.
Sony was, she absolutely banged in the goals for Barcelona's women's team.
Sony Bermudez, of course, Spain international, one of the best women strikers in the women's league. She's great. Glad to have her.
Yeah, she's incredible. Yeah.
All right. That's about all I've got. What about you?
Yeah, I think that's all we got. It was a win that didn't feel like one.
Win's a win, Rob. Win's a win.
Hey, we'll take it. We'll take it every day of the week, especially when it's Thomas. That's our guy.
And everything is good. Everything is glorious. Nothing is wrong.
Yep. Good. I'm on board for that.
Everything's great. Well, those were the tones of Rob Walker. You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03, @RWALK03. You can follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter, @JBBarron, JBBERREN. Follow Into the Calderon @IntoTheCalderon. You can also like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You can subscribe and listen to Colchonero Chat, if you so choose, on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes iTunes. And if you're over there, please leave a rating and a review. A rating and a review really gets more eyes and ears on the program. Also, if you're interested in becoming a patron, there is a way to do that. If you're interested in supporting the show, there is a way to do that. It's at patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. You'll get a wide variety of benefits, including early access to select episodes of the program, exclusive behind-the-scenes images and audio clips of the editing process for each episode of Colchonero Chat, and a lot more. So head over to patreon.com/Colchonero Chat if you want to become a patron. All right, we are taking the rest of the week off because it's the international break, and we can damn well do so. We'll be back next week to get you set for the Madrid Derby. Until then, have a good week. Adios.